once I see that the device works properly, they'll release me.
I very much doubt it. You see, before you reactivated it, I reversed the polarity of the neutron flow.
You realize what will happen?
Oh, yes. Do you? Well, I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow, so the TARDIS should be free of the force field now.
So he's reversed the polarity! Keep back!
Hello and welcome to the most chaotic episode of Reversing Polarity yet. Well, we will be doing our first ever New Who episode, doing a power ranking of all LGBTQ characters in New Who. Mm-hmm. And we're in the same room.
We're in the same
room! For the first time in 2 years.
Can you believe it, everybody? Oh my god.
So if it gets extra wild,
blame it on that.
The meter between us.
Yes, yes. It's very, very strange.
My name is Aim, my pronouns are they, them.
My name is Rosie, my pronouns are also they, them.
I feel like we're introducing ourselves
yes,
to each other.
Yes, I've been watching nothing but Star Trek Discovery for 3 days, so this is going to be a nice move back into Doctor Who territory.
You haven't mentioned it at all.
No, I definitely haven't mentioned it anywhere on the internet. Right, so we have a spreadsheet, and we have the TARDIS wiki pages for non-heterosexual individuals and non-cisgender individuals, both of which have a disclaimer at the top.
I love the disclaimer. I love it as much as I love any fandom wiki disclaimer.
It's very good. Per the ruling at thread:271132, and as documented at TARDIS, even good categories can be removed. The category non-heterosexual individuals is for individuals who are not heterosexual. No further subcategorization will be created. Fair enough. Aliens who have a human-like conception of gender binary are also applicable for this character. This includes individual incarnations of Time Lords. However, Time Lords during the period of Pythia's curse are not immediately added.
I just adore Doctor Who fandom. I just think it's very good.
Yeah.
I know nothing about this name for Time Lord, and I must know about Time Lord Section 28.
Yeah. Oh my god, Time Lord Section 28.
Wouldn't that be horrible?
Time. Yeah. Imagine going to the Time Lord Academy and they're not allowed to tell you about how gay being a Time Lord is.
All these pretended families.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. Well, I mean, no one has mothers and fathers on Gallifrey, as you know, because
Looms.
Looms. Looms!
I'm so... You know that, like, hesitant excitement for our Looms episode?
It's gonna be really, really good.
Horrible.
So, we're gonna go as alphabetically as this page allows, and I must figure out Algae Emperor. The fuck is an Algae Emperor?
What it sounds like.
Oh, I see. The 12th Doctor claimed to know an emperor made of algae who fancied him.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's New Who gay character. So we can put the Algae Emperor on our power ranking.
I think the Algae Emperor... I mean, we never see anything, and this is just a claim from 12.
Yeah, but for now, we'll put it in...
For now, top of the list.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to the Doctor eventually.
The Algae Emperor sounds like a power bottom.
Then there's a character called... Then there's a character called Algae, but spelt differently. This is in... Oh, it's in The Empty Child.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's relatively recently.
It's so good. It's the one who's having an affair with Jack.
Oh.
I'm just thinking about how gay the Empty Child the Doctor dances could be from time to time.
It's and it kind of is.
It kind of is and it kind of isn't. Classic Stephen Moffat. Oh god, we're going to have to talk about Moffat this episode. This is why we did a Classic Who podcast.
So we wouldn't be full of rage all of the time.
So Moffat would just be stuck on Usenet. Yes, so...
Does algae count?
I mean, algae.
Algae.
He counts, he's a character, he's a
That's
named
true.
Character.
It has to go above the...
The algae emperor. Or are they secretly Purely the same by... person?
Holy shit! Okay, I think you've uncovered a conspiracy here.
Absolutely. Algae and algae emperor, the same character.
After Jack left, algae was like, what the fuck, how do I get him back? Things happened.
Yep, things happened.
Step three.
This is what Big Finish is for.
I mean, that's actually not a Big Finish episode I want to write.
No.
But I'd listen.
Exactly. let's see, who else do we have? We have Matthews, which is... he's from Class. I haven't seen Class.
Gosh, the first couple of episodes of it, I cannot... I wanted to like it so much, and I couldn't get into
it. Well, you know how they really could have improved a series set at Coal Hill Academy?
Would it be Ian and Barbara?
It would be Ian and Barbara, yes. At the very least, Ian Chesterton, who is canonically the head of Governess. a coil.
But for how long? Like, how long can somebody retain that possession?
Well, at the time, it had been like a year since they fucking said that. So come on, guys. Come on, guys. You gotta put him in.
And also, like, we've not had any science on the impacts of time travel on human anatomy.
No, well, in Sarah
Maybe
Jane...
Maybe they just don't age.
In Sarah Jane Adventures, they said that they don't age. It was stupid, but they said it. That makes it canon. The, I haven't seen Class, so I cannot ethically power rank Matthews from Class. One day I might get round to it, but...
One day you'll find a free weekend and watch all of it, and then do nothing but think about it for a week.
I don't think so, because the thing is that it doesn't have any of the characters from Star Trek Discovery on it. Or indeed any characters from Star Trek.
How do you know you've not seen it?
That's true. Are there any characters from Star Trek in Class? Let us know on Twitter. Next one is Angstrom from the Ghost Monument, who has a dead wife.
Oh, we don't like dead wives. We like alive wives.
We do like alive wives. Anyway, Angstrom apparently reappears in the non-narrative Christmas webcast Merry Christmas from Doctor Who, wishing the viewer a Merry Christmas, which I think puts her top, because, you know, she wants us to have a Merry Christmas even while her wife is dead. That's very altruistic of her.
And considering the rest of the placement so far, top sounds about right.
Yeah. She's, like, a character who I vaguely remember. I've only seen Ghost Monument once. It's, like, the second episode of Series 11?
Series 11 just sort of, like, exists in the back of my mind, and I know I need to go back there one day.
One day. One oh my god, day. We're gonna get to Bill soon on this list.
Yes!
So we have... let's open a couple of tabs here, because I don't know who some of these people are... We have, Tanya Bell, who was a companion of the Eighth Doctor.
Ooh, so this is going to be a big finish.
Yes.
Eight isn't New Who.
Trans character.
Very good.
So one day we'll get one day we'll get to that. I'm aware, I didn't realise. Oh, they're from Stranded, I think. It's like a series of box sets. See, the thing is, I'm very behind on the box sets, because I thought Dark Eyes was quite new, and then I looked it up, it's from fucking 2012 or something. And
that's
I was
still
like,
quite
God's
new.
Sake.
That was only 9 years ago.
Go away. Oh, it's a fucking, Miracle Day Torchwood episode. That's not Doctor Who.
Never watched Miracle Day.
No, why would
never
you?
Never got around to it.
Why would you watch Torchwood after Yanto died? That's the question
my
for
heart.
Everyone. Why would it? Well, like, to be honest, I'm shocked I continued watching after fucking Owen and Tosh died. I cried so hard when Owen and Tosh died in Torchwood that my family thought something was seriously wrong with me.
Well, it was. Owen and Tosh died.
My heart broke. They never got to be happy together.
Are you okay?
I'm just very over-emotional at the moment. And I know that Star Trek Disco Season 3 finale is going to really wreck me.
Oh boy. So... Oh, hun. Oh no.
Yeah. I know vaguely what happens, and I'm still, like, actually seeing it happen.
Yeah, it's going to get to you.
It's fine. I need to stop talking about disco. Anyway, let's close the Algae Emperor tab.
Why?
Wish I could say. Oh, another Torchwood audio. And we can't get into the Torchwood audios or it'll just fucking
chaotic.
Never go anywhere. Canton Everett Delaware III's fiance does not appear on screen.
But is mentioned.
Yes.
Neither does the Algae Emperor.
Yes.
By the rules
yes.
we have made.
Yes. Gay man of colour in the 60s. Wants to get married. Willing to tell the president that he and Canton Everett Delaware III will be getting married.
Powerful. Very powerful.
Mm. But we don't see him.
And does he wish us a Merry Christmas?
He does wish us a Merry Christmas.
So I can go second in our rankings.
Okay, second in our ranking above Algae and the Algae Emperor. Okay. I know there's probably a better way of doing this, but I don't know it is. Canton's husbands. I'm a big fan. I remember being extremely into Canton when the Series 6 started, and I still think he's a very good character. He's a very fun character. Oh god, there's a lot of characters coming on here. Oh, are these the ones from Gridlock? Yes, the old lesbians from Gridlock.
I remember them.
The old lesbians
they
from
were very
Gridlock
good.
Are perfect. They have a bunch of cats, like kittens. There's Macra in that episode, even though they wasted them. You're about to say there's no such thing as the Macra.
You know
it. It's nice being able to see the expression when you're about to say something.
Rather than just trying to hear it.
But yes, I mean, they're lesbians. They live through the whole episode.
We love it when our lesbians don't die. We love it.
This is...
I think they definitely get points for not dying.
Yes, May and Alice Cassini.
Shall we rank them as a pair?
I think so.
Because they have very similar stats.
Yeah. Yes. If you put them in, like a Top Trump situation, which I'm sure they were cards for Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, I owned them.
Yeah. I can't remember the names of the Battles in Time. I had to sort through a bunch of the cards recently because my mum found them in the garage in the outhouse.
Did you agree with every single stat?
I didn't look that hard because she wanted me to sort out which were rare and which were ultra rares.
Wow, how many were ultra rare?
Oh, I think we had one.
And who was it?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember. It was like a shiny Slitheen or something. But you know, because
like a fucking Pokemon!
Yeah, it was like the rare, you got one rare card in every pack, so it's not really that rare. And then you got like one super rare card every like 12 packs or something. But they're still not worth very much money, let's be clear.
Give it a decade.
Yeah, I mean, they're selling them at the TV and movie store. The television and movie store. They are selling them. 99p a pack.
Are they selling them as well as they're selling...
They're selling them in a
the
pack.
The Twin Dilemma.
Well, I wouldn't be able to say. I haven't been obsessively categorising how many copies of the Twin Dilemma they've sold.
no, not
thank
at all.
You to all the answerers of our poll on what would be the funniest way to buy all copies of the Twin Dilemma. I didn't have the money to do it. Subscribe to our Patreon.
Listen, tell enough people to listen to our podcast that we can get around to making the Patreon.
That would be very
And then good. We can buy one a day like a coffee.
Right, yes. So we're doing May and Alice yes. Cassini at the top because they live and they have pet
kittens.
Oh no, they don't have kittens, do they? It's Ardal O'Hanlon and his wife who have kittens. Which I don't want to think about a woman giving birth to a litter of kittens, but that's what the episode has invited us to consider.
Sometimes it's great having a non-functional memory because you get to be re-reminded of great things, and then other times it's that.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? It's different remembering about that. Let's see. So we've had Alice and May. Also, Ten gets to pick up one of the kittens and go, you know, coochie-coo. It's very cute. This is also from Miracle Day, so I will be ignoring it because it didn't
Miracle
happen.
Miracle Gay.
That's where they just bring Yanto back. I know there were a couple of audios where they sort of did that for BBC Radio, but they always ended with Yanto dying again.
Well, who have we got here?
This is from Kill to a View. Oh, it's another fucking Torchwood audio. How many Torchwood audios are there?
It must be quite a stable market.
Yeah. God. I mean, there's a lot, to be clear to the listeners, there's a lot of people on these category pages, and we've got to go through, I mean, to be
every
loyal, all
one.
Of them. Oh, here we go. There's one from a Ten and Donna audio.
That's new who?
Yes. The Creeping Death.
I have not listened to it.
Me neither.
Sounds like it's a great title, though.
Yeah, and it does have David Tennant and Catherine Tate in it, so no complaints
I wish
me.
We had another series of the two of them.
Yeah. God. Good. I saw a GIF set the other day that was comparing Midnight to The Edge of Destruction, the first Doctor story, and I was like, yes! I love The Edge of Destruction. It is extremely strange. All right. Richard Cooper was a resident of London in 1952. He was a gay man and entered into a relationship with Terry Hopkins, although Ivy Clark initially believed that Richard was interested in her. He helped the 10th Doctor and Donna Noble defeat the Fumifugium. Fumifugium? Almost exactly the same summary for Terry, just the other word, the names are switched around.
Love our nondescript gays.
Mm. You know, Richard and Terry, where are Richard and Terry going?
Probably below the Elky Emperor. I'm less entertained.
Yeah, Richard and Terry. It's very fun.
Also, what a classic, like, gay couple names.
From the 50s, Richard and Terry's very classic. Oh, I didn't realise they made him gay. When did they make him gay? Intriguing.
Oh, and then one of the books.
Probably, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's from... There's a character from The Ambassadors of Death, so it's classic who, but he's gay in the books, and I'm like, yes! Queer the canon.
The canon is itself queer.
Yes.
Just censored.
All they need to do in season 4 of Disco is just have Spock's personnel file come up, and it just says spouse, James T. Kirk, and then they don't have to say anything else about it. That's all I'm saying.
But they've already made it canon. On Lower Decks. Sort of.
Have they?
Did you not see this?
No.
In one of the teasers they put out just before the new season of Lower Decks, they've got where Jim and Spock carved their names into a table.
No, I did see that!
And everyone's
oh my
like,
God.
Spock's canon, and I'm like, I'll take it. This is a little morsel, and I will eat it up.
Yes, yes.
Lower
I'm
Decks
gobbling.
Is great. You should watch Lower Decks.
I will
next.
Do. I remember from you and Ben so having good. A conversation about it on the Two Doctors
I love
episode.
It.
Oh my God. Oh, the guy from The Unicorn and the Wasp.
Huh.
Roger Kirbishley.
Very...
That sounds like fuck, like Roger. Kirbishley is like an adverb for the verb to Roger. What does Kirbishley mean?
Clumsily.
Roger Kirbishley was the son of Lady Edison and Colonel Hugh Kirbishley. Arnold Golightly was his half-brother on his mother's side. He was a proper gentleman, conducting himself politely in public and flirting with women. He was a closeted homosexual, they can't use homosexual in TARDIS Wiki, and had a secret relationship with one of his servants, Davenport, meaning the Kirbishley slash
Davenport!
Edison. slash Edison line might end with him.
Fuck it, who cares? Sorry.
It's cool, he gets killed, so that's not great.
He's also closeted, which is sad, but also historically accurate. Yeah, they were uncloseted gay people. Like, the more wealthy you were, the more likely you were to be uncloseted.
Yes, or at least
we know of, because there's records.
Yeah, you would still be closeted, but you would be writing about it in your diary. Like, hell yeah, I'm gay.
Who was it? 26th of August.
Yeah,
1821.
You don't need to call out Edward Carpenter like this.
Yeah, what did I do?
I'm not inclined to put him very high. Maybe under Canton's husband.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. That's fair.
Roger.
God, it's such a good name.
It's a very good name. It's very detective novel. Oh, Davenport from The Unicorn and the Wasp. His boyfriend, who is the servant.
I'm kind of inclined to rank Davenport just above Roger.
Donna later expressed her sadness that because of the attitudes of the time, Davenport could not publicly mourn his lover's death. Oh my god. Sad.
That is sad.
That is sad. Fuck. I mean, he does have to go above Roger because he's still alive. But unlike Canton's husband, his boyfriend's dead. So, there you go. Davenport.
I wonder how many people's names have been ruined by Griffin McElroy. At least two.
Yeah, at least two. Okay. Oh, hey, well, now we're getting into the doctors. We can rank the doctors after this. Right, Jonathan D is from an audio. Canton! Everett Delaware III, played by Mark Shepherd.
Oh my god, how did I forget that bit?
I don't know.
I don't have a memory, that's how.
I used to have a...
Mark Shepherd's been in everything.
For a while, my Tumblr URL was a quote by Canton Everett Delaware III. Whatever a video phone is, was my Tumblr URL.
I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah. It's a good one. It was good. If anyone out there still has that.
We saw Mark Shepherd in a thing that I watched with my housemates.
Leverage?
No, because Joel watched that on his own.
Oh, Joel being selfish, watching Leverage on his own.
He's now listening to the Magnus Archives and just texting me. Like, he texted me the other day, a bin bag full of teeth, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
good,
that's
you
the
started.
Best one. Mark Shepherd, I don't think, was in the Magnus Archives, but you never
Holy
know.
Holy shit, imagine. Power.
It would be incredible. He just turns up and they have the Sterling Sting from Leverage.
We did watch a movie, did we?
Oh my god, he was in the film Megalodon 2002.
Fuck.
That is on my watch list, because it is about a big shark. He was in Voyager.
Yes, that'll be it, was it? Yes, that'll be it.
Episode Child's Play. God, I don't remember this. Oh, it's in season 6, of course I don't remember it. I haven't seen season 6 of Voyager.
Season 7, the last 5 episodes of season 7 of Voyager, when Tom Paris finally becomes a likeable character.
Is that when Chakotay turns 7 of 9 getting off?
Yes.
Yeah. It should be them and Janeway as a throuple.
That would make the most sense, but I can't see Rick Berman letting us have joy.
Rick Berman wouldn't even let Chakotay and Janeway fuck. That's the most obvious pairing. It's so obvious, and he wouldn't do it.
Actually, I think you'll find that Janeway, Tom Paris, lizards fucking is the most obvious.
My favourite episode of any Star Trek.
So good.
It's so fucking good. It's so good. Everyone's like, oh, it's the worst episode of Star Trek.
No, it's
no.
The best.
Spock's Brain and Threshold are genius television, and anyone who says
Spock's
they're bad
brain.
Are wrong. It's all about how Jim is just panicking over the loss of his husband's brain, and he has to go and physically collect it, and it's incredible. And there's a matriarchy.
Oh, his brain is gone. Anyway, this is not a Star Trek podcast yet.
Yeah, thank you for adding yet this time. But yeah, Canton's great. He quit the Bureau because he wanted to marry his husband. And
I think he's going to be our top gay for now.
Yeah, he's definitely about my him top is, gay. I like him very much. I like when he sort of comes back. I think he should get to be in Big Finish.
God, that'd be amazing.
It would be really... Right, let's... move this down a couple. Canton Everett Delaware III. It's a really good name as well. Fuck. You can see how bad my typing is.
The things that usually are not seen.
Yes, just heard.
We are now both behind the curtain.
It is very, very strange.
in a delightful way.
Here's my Star Trek Discovery tab that I'm going to leave open. Right.
Who else?
We have the Doctor. Various
Wait a second. Wait
doctor.
A second. They've only listed...
9th and 13th. This is because it's...
Well, 8 doesn't...
Well, we can talk about which incarnation of the new Doctor is the gayest, and then the least gay can go at the bottom of the ranking.
13 is the gayest.
Okay. Elaborate.
Yes.
Has she kissed a woman?
No, but she's wanted to.
Okay. But 9 did kiss a man.
That's true. Or a man kissed 9.
Yeah. 11 kissed Rory.
That's true. And that was a throuple.
That was a threat.
It was definitely a threat.
God, loving Amy and Rory is so good. So let's rank them. So we have, let's have that like as a separate list. So at the top, mm-hmm. we had 13, 9, 11. I'm just listing them as whether they did gay shit. These are the four that I can think of that did gay shit on screen. 10 is gay.
But 10 is gay energy rather than gay actuality.
Yes. Like the only gay thing is when he says to Shakespeare, we can flirt later, and Shakespeare says, is that a promise, Doctor? It doesn't work because he's not the one flirting with Shakespeare. Shakespeare is flirting with him.
And Sally Sparrow in the Moffat written episode Blink does call his hair gay.
I do not remember that.
I read the script recently.
And you remember that?
Do not ask me what we stays
have,
book
we should have a Moffat sidebar quickly, right? Because Moffat's okay. era of Doctor Who has a lot of gay characters.
Yes, it does.
So there is a positive intention, which is not necessarily borne out
you
by the writer.
You could say that with the same as, like, Moffat's era has a lot of female characters.
Yeah. I think
doesn't mean it's decent rep.
But I think that, like, even people who openly hate women will put female characters in things. But, like, people who are homophobes or homophobic will be like, no. So Moffat...
Or will do it and use us only as a punchline.
Yeah. Whereas I think that Moffat, at least in intention, is trying to just include gay people in the show. The problem is that he's a straight, middle-aged white guy and doesn't know how to do it.
You think that Mark Gatiss on his shoulder would be a...
I think that might
influence.
Be part of what helps him.
Yeah.
Because right? Mark Gatiss has his own problems.
Yes.
God, does he have his own problems. But I do like him, and I think that he has equally positive intentions with gay characters,
mm-hmm.
at least. RTD also has a decent number of gay characters, and it was fucking revolutionary to do so in 2005. So
yes.
I have to support that. Especially
is...
Nine kissing a man on screen.
We rewatched the first season of New Who recently. Lots of surviving the AIDS crisis allegory in there. Like, significant amounts,
yeah,
like, survivor's
yeah,
grief,
yeah,
all the stuff about
yeah.
the time war, like, wiping out of an entire... Lots of AIDS survivor's grief as, like, an overarching theme.
Yeah.
So...
I think Nine is the gayest Doctor for me. Or, like, the queerest Doctor.
Definitely has queerest
New
energy.
And then 13, I agree, has queer energy, but it's partly the outfit.
It's partly because I'm in love with her.
Yes, it is also partly because we're in love with her.
I just adore her.
I'm gonna have we'll have the Doctors as a separate ranking because
yeah, yeah, yeah.
it's not fair to compare the main character of the show
with somebody who had two lines.
So,
with the algae emperor.
I think 12 has extreme bisexual energy,
mm.
and is the only one who has kissed the master. But obviously, the master was a woman at the time, so it's kind of hard to think about the queerness of that.
But they were definitely in love when they were both the same gender.
Of course. Of course, they're always in love with the same gender. God, I love the master so much. Absolutely insane scenes.
I was on a boat earlier today.
Of course you
this
were.
This was going somewhere.
Yeah.
I was on a boat, and there were a bunch of boats which had harbour master written on.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that'd be a wild incarnation of the master. We've had crunchy master, we have suave master, now we need harbour master.
Yeah. It's a big thing.
Anyway, the Doctors.
The Doctors. This is really hard.
It is.
I think of the four, 11 is the least gay. But he's still very gay. Or queer, I suppose.
I think you're right. I'm trying to figure out how it, like...
Yeah, I might do...
What that queer energy is.
I might do... If I was doing it, I would do, like, 9, 12, 13, 11.
What about 10? 10 never had any...
I don't know that 10 has any gay energy to me. Like, obviously him and the Master... That's just the Doctor and the Master. They are just in love eternally.
Yeah.
Let's table this. We can come back to it later. Because we have so many other minor characters to rank.
Yeah, that sounds fair to me. And maybe this will bring up more feelings about Doctors.
Maybe. Frankie Eilish. Or Frankie Eilish. Arachnids in the UK. Classic.
Oh, didn't she die?
I think so. Frankie Eilish was the personal assistant of Jack Robertson and his niece's wife. After he chose to cover up a toxic landfill underneath one of his hotels, she decided to reveal it to the public. She also witnessed her employer fire Nadia Khan. However, as she attempted to film it, Frankie was attacked by a spider created by the waste. Her body was later found by the 13th Doctor and Jack in a web cocoon as they investigated the area. Arachnids in the UK.
Go
what
on.
An episode.
Yes.
The bit where the spider is in the bath is poetic cinema.
So So I really hope that our podcast reaches an audience that's never seen Doctor Who, just so they can interpret that image.
Like a very large spider in a very small bath. And it made me think about the Flanders and Swan song, Spider in the Bath, which is about how seeing a spider in a bath makes you want to kill yourself. It's like, yeah, I feel it.
Yeah. Also, the title of the episode.
Arachnid.
A+.
Defeated by the spider in the bath. It's a very good song. Everyone should listen to it. She's low because she's a lesbian that dies.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We love our lesbians. We hate death.
Yeah. Frankie Ellis's wife.
Do you have a DVD called Ghost Shark?
Yes, it was a gift.
It's everything.
Yes, I have the thing out ready, and then also the other thing is on the shelves. I don't have the third thing. The first thing from the 1950s, because it's not very good. But I do have my The Thing blanket.
I did notice The Thing blanket.
Yes! Oh my god. Right, let's put Frankie Ellis. I think she's...
Oh, I don't think she's bottom.
No, is she above Richard and Jerry?
I think I might put her in an algae sandwich.
Yes, algae sandwich sounds excellent. Not delicious, but excellent. Frankie Ellis.
Sorry, Frankie.
Sorry, Frankie.
At least she did, you know, call out a billionaire's corruption. That's powerful and we love it.
That is powerful. Right, we have Fat One, which is from Demon's Run, A Good Man Goes to War. Where the...
Oh.
The Thin One and the Fat One. Thin, fat, gay, married Anglican Marines. And asked rhetorically why they would need names. And you're like, oh, Moffat.
Is an attempt being made?
I think an attempt is being made to be like, I think Moffat has kind of not understood what the labels thing is for. It's not because being thin, fat, gay, married, and Anglican is your whole personality.
Wait, what? I've been doing it wrong.
I mean, they do live, as far as I recall. Oh my god, his husband was taken to be initiated into the Order of Headless Monks. I think they saved him, though. So that was... Oh yeah, Lorna Bucket asks if they have names. Lorna was cute. She got murdered. Like many characters on Doctor Who.
I think often Doctor Who gets a rep as, like, a family-friendly show, and people just don't think about the murder.
Yeah, do the thin one, fat one, thin, fat, gay, married Anglican Marines go above or below Richard and Terry?
I've got to put them below. Got to put them below. I'm sorry.
Now I have to
nameless
type,
Marines.
Now I have to type thin, fat, gay, married Anglican Marines on this spreadsheet.
I mean, I would give them points for being like gay Anglicans because, you know, it's still a hostile atmosphere. But also they lose points for being in the military.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's a lot of points for being in the military. Like, Starfleet is only kind of the military.
Starfleet is
more militaristic in the future of Disco.
Yeah, massively. I have really strong feelings that Star Trek would be better if it had no military intent at all. And I think it's more often used as a frame.
Well, that's what TOS is about, kind of.
I don't know.
They don't really fight things.
But Roddenberry had such a military background, and so much of it was based on his experience there.
Yeah.
That it's sort of intrinsic to the ranking and the order of the ship.
I mean, it's the colonialism, isn't it?
Yep.
That's the problem.
Yep.
But there we go, Star Trek Discovery. Watch it on Netflix. It's very good. Sometimes it interrogates these questions. But most of the time, it's about found family.
Star Trek is about family. This is not a fucking Star Trek podcast.
You say that, Aim, but is it?
I was thinking, when we finally watch all 160-something Doctor Who stories, we did shift it. We've discussed shifting it into a Star Trek podcast when we were in our 30s.
Yeah. Sounds good.
But we should watch, get all the series and then watch what they're all out of order and then some random number generator.
So cute, like Enterprise Series 4, Episode 12, followed by The Doomsday Machine. Followed by, like, fucking Star Trek Picard Episode 4.
Yeah, followed by, like...
The animated series.
Oh god, I have TAS in there. And then In the Pale Moonlight.
Oh my god.
Following that up with Spock's Brain.
It seems to me like you don't want a random number generator. You want to perfectly make funniest possible order.
I trust the random number generator to do that for us.
Okay, well, maybe one day. Anyway, next on the list is Jenny Flint.
Ah.
A recurring lesbian.
That's how I like
she
my
lesbians.
She has
enough appearances that she has her own page for her list of appearances.
Oh, nice. Nice, she really does.
Because they have, like, a whole short stories thing. Paternoster gang. So she's gay married in the 1800s. She's working class. She's a lesbian. She fights with a sword.
Okay, sword lesbians do get points.
Like, there's nothing wrong with this character. Tell me something wrong with this character.
Recurring yet not a companion.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a deficit. And God, I do love Jenny Flint. But also, if she was a companion, she and Vastra would have less time to devote to being Victorian crime fighters.
Okay, I take it back. They didn't get their entire show.
Yeah, I think they have big Finnish box sets now, but that's not the same.
Not the same. We don't get to see them.
No. God, I love them so much.
However, I think she ranks top of the list so far. Yes.
Oh my God.
Quite easily. Is this a good Moffat lesbian?
I think so. Let's put Jenny Flint. Is she above or below Canton?
I put her above.
Oh yeah. Lesbian supremacy.
If you came to our podcast expecting anything else, I'm very sorry.
Yes. Then we have Alonzo Frame, who is the one that Jack gets off with at the end of time, which is very, very disrespectful to Ten, I think, to be like, I know what will make Jack cheer up. It's sleeping with this random guy.
But
and admittedly, he's Russell Tovey. Oh yeah, he was in Voyage of the Damned.
Oh yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Alonzo. God, I haven't watched Voyage of the Damned in a really long
time.
Watched
it since it came out.
It is not very good. And yet.
It's not the worst Christmas special.
What would you say is the worst?
The Superman one.
I haven't seen the
There you go, case in point.
It's the Mysterio one, yeah. Isn't it?
It just doesn't, it doesn't land.
That's fair.
It keeps floating away with its little cape.
Yeah, it's got balloons on it. Very bad for the environment. Right, where are we going to put Alonzo Frame?
Doesn't die. Is canonically explicitly queer, not closeted.
Indeed.
Probably below Canton?
Yeah, probably below Canton. Yeah. He's appeared more than once. And he has a name, which helps. Alonzo Frame. Also, it's a good name.
It's a really good name.
It's a really good name.
Sounds like the name of a 1920s detective.
Don't talk to me about 1920s detectives. Right.
That sounds like a threat.
Oh my God. George, The Waters of Mars. I haven't seen The Waters of Mars in a really long time either. George was married to Mikhail Kerensky. According to Mikhail's brother Yuri, he spent money like an idiot. One time, for Mikhail's birthday, George bought him a top-of-the-range car with Mikhail's own money and joked to him, "It's the thought that counts." Mikhail was the brother of Yuri Kerensky. He lived in... I don't remember anything about The Waters of Mars.
I mean, seeing as they don't have images, no. I imagine they were mentioned rather than...
Probably. I mean, it's nice that it's a Russian character that's gay.
It's nice to have referential gaze rather than just visual gaze.
Yeah. I really haven't seen The Waters of Mars since it aired. I don't remember anything about it. I just remember that I didn't like it.
It's one of the Tennant specials, isn't it?
Yeah, so I didn't like the specials. So it might well be The Waters of Mars of good. Everyone's like, oh, it's so good, and it really. But I didn't like the Time Lord Victoria stuff. So
what are you gonna do?
What were you gonna do when they come for you?
I don't think that they, because they weren't seen. I don't think they end up on our ranking.
No, I mean it would have to be like George and Mikhail below fucking Richard and Terry.
Are you gonna put George and Mikhail below Richard and Terry?
I think we have to put them below Richard and Terry. Where else are we gonna
put them? Above the fat one and thin one.
Yeah, because okay. The fat one and the thin one are like, they're bad. Doing something that actually, I don't like. And I'm not
it
quite
makes
sure
me very uncomfortable. I think it's a lack of actual identity.
Yeah. Next up we have Jack Harkness, completely divorced from the fact that his actor is a cunt.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not discuss.
Yes. I love Jack Harkness.
I find him complicated to watch.
Again, is it because John Barrowman can't act? Because before all the allegations came out, me and Alex were watching a lot of Torchwood and we were constantly like, God, John Barrowman cannot act well enough for this scene.
I don't think I've ever actually had that thought. I think it's more, oh, he's clumsily written, oh, he's awkward, oh, it doesn't feel right.
I think if they had a better actor, it would work better. But the writing also doesn't help because he's great in An Empty Child.
He's the bit, that, when I rewatched that recently, he's the bit that felt...
No!
Least great. And he's still great, still really good, still like top tier episodes.
Yeah. I just really enjoy him in that. And then obviously...
He is really great in the end of that season as well. Mm. That he really
and
does shine there.
He does kiss Nine on the mouth and it's
true.
Like, yes,
just
you're
that,
doing
where
it
were you keeping
this.
That gun?
You don't want to know. I mean, Jack is great. Does he go above Jenny? Because he's in it more.
He's in it loads.
He's in it
he
loads.
He was, like...
He can't
explicitly,
die.
Can't die. Well, he can.
But he doesn't
can't.
Remain dead.
He is... Sadly immortal. He does turn into a massive face.
He does turn into a massive face, which is very queer culture of him. Don't ask me why.
And nobody makes any blowjob jokes about that.
That's true. They could have done it. It has happened in Doctor Who before.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Is he good queer rap? Yeah, I guess he is.
I think so.
He's not bad queer rap. We could do like a proper granular exploration of this, but it's going to take several hours. Yeah. And
then we have
Zanzibar hashtag.
This is the seventh song to think we can't talk about Zanzibar hashtag.
No, I need to talk about Zanzibar hashtag for 2 minutes. Who are they?
Zanzibar hashtag was a technician who was a hostage of the Sycorax and was the next one to be executed. It doesn't say the next one after what. This is not very well phrased.
What? Something badly phrased from TARDIS Wiki? Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those old Doctor's new enemies audios. Well, they did like 5 in the Weeping Angels, I think.
Zanzibar hashtag.
Zanzibar hashtag. I'm legally changing my name to Zanzibar hashtag.
I support you.
Thank you. God. Then we have Heather from the pilot. Bill's girlfriend, Heather, the oil puddle girl.
Oh, yeah. The puddle girl?
I really like the puddle girl.
I wish she hadn't ended up as a puddle.
Why?
She's a puddle.
Yeah? She's also a person. She's a puddle person. Are you saying that Odo isn't a person because he's a puddle?
Okay, you've got me there.
I'm in a fucking Measure of a Man situation right now. I am standing there, Data is sat in front of me, and I say, how can we prove that this man is a man? How do we prove this puddle is a lesbian?
There we go, episode name.
Yeah.
Okay. Something depersonifying queer people or making them puddles ain't great. However, she's very cute.
She is very cute. Very cute. And she does have motivation.
Are you saying that some lesbians don't have motivation? Yes, on this show?
I don't.
I don't know, you seem pretty motivated to get through disco.
Yeah, God. I just really, really enjoy her. I've only seen a little bit of season 10, but she's good in it. And I've seen Twice Upon a Time, and I still don't really understand what happened. Because I hadn't seen season 10. But I wanted to see the first Doctor come back, and it was cool, even though Moffat did some...
questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there we are.
Well, we do love...
I like that she rescues Bill. Gay love can pierce through the veil of death and save the day. That's where I've been at for 3 days.
That's... Am I...
Paul Stamets rescued Hugh Culver from the Mushroom Universe.
Okay.
With the power of his belief in him. You understand this, right?
I do!
I really didn't think I'd care about them as much as I do. I thought I'd be like, oh, that's nice.
Really?
I thought I'd be like, that's nice that there's a gay couple on the show.
Okay, one of them is fucking Anthony Rapp.
No, I know!
I'm not gonna care.
I care about it so much. Oh my God. I will say, the fucking Mirror Universe, where he's doing this dream ballet and he's narrating it, made me want to die of embarrassment. I was like, thank God he tries to kill Giorgio after that. Thank God it was a setup.
So good. Where were we? Puddle girlfriend.
Puddle girlfriend. Where's she going on the ranking?
Would you date a puddle?
I mean, if she can also be a person, why not? She can go anywhere in the universe.
That's true.
The puddle is like a interdimensional whatever, right? I can't remember.
I fucking love Doctor Who.
Where are we putting her? She's going near the top.
Quite high.
She under or above
probably
Canton.
I was going to put her under Jenny.
Yeah.
That works.
Okay. Heather. Puddle.
Is that a Captain America cushion?
Yes, it is.
This isn't actually an episode about Doctor Who. This is an episode about what's in your living room.
Yes, exactly. That is a spuddy that has pockets in it to put stuff in, and it constantly falls off the back of Sam's armchair, which is why it is over there.
That's adorable.
We also have in my living room some flowers that are Sammy's, our board game shelf, our DVD shelf. The divide for where my DVDs begin is those DVD holders on the second shelf, and after that, they're all mine.
You have a lot of DVDs.
Yeah, and I have more in a box.
One day you can come visit us in Oxford and see it's mostly Joel's DVD collection. Yes. It's
in my box of DVDs, which is behind there, I have all of my Doctor Who DVDs. I have all of my Star Trek DVDs, which is DS9, TOS, the original movies, and the animated series.
Brilliant.
I have is the Musketeers out there? Yeah, the Musketeers is out there. But other various nerdy shit. Oh, the Lord of the Rings extended editions.
We have 3 versions of the entire series in the living room.
Of Lord of the Rings? Theatrical extended Blu-rays or... Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Same with The Hobbit. I don't know why.
I haven't even seen the third Hobbit movie.
Me neither. I haven't seen the second one.
The second one's good. I mean, I've seen it once. Yeah. I've seen it once, but I liked it.
Joel's a completionist.
I noticed.
Is it by having every single classic Who DVD?
Yes. I need to close Zanzibar hashtag, excuse me.
Do you?
Yes, I do. God. Who are all these fucking characters? What is any of Idris Hopper. God. Pros. The baby farmers. Fucking hell. I've opened Terry Hopkins again. Terrible. That's from Richard and Terry. We know Richard and Terry.
We love Richard and Terry.
They're good friends.
Coming around for Sunday lunch.
Ah, okay. Idris is the receptionist from Boomtown. And then in The Twilight Streets, which is a book that I own, he kisses Jack.
Ooh. Boomtown good, objectively. Mm-hmm. Kissing Jack happens to a lot of people.
Yeah. Not canon to Doctor Who, though, I would say.
No.
We're talking about Doctor Who gays.
Sorry.
He is a very sweet-faced man. Scrolling further down. Jack Harkness's twin boyfriends. Jack Harkness's boyfriend, brackets, fragments, close brackets. Jack Harkness's boyfriend.
Name Jack's Brandage. Boyfriend.
Name Jack's boyfriend.
Is, okay, okay, okay. Is Jack, as Jack's explicitly bi, right?
Yes.
Why does he have no unnamed girlfriends?
Because
they all get names.
Because he and Gwen have that fucking weird thing where they insist on having sexual tension, and he can't mention any of his ex-girlfriends because then the writers will make her seem really threatened, even though that doesn't make any sense. She's not threatened by his ex-boyfriends. It's Chris Chibnall. It's Chibbers. Chibbers.
Chibbers, if you're listening.
Okay, we have Jake Willis. He was a human living in the 2020s, a former police officer.
I'm a human living in the 2020s!
Yay!
We have so much in common.
A former police officer, okay, married to astronaut Adam Lang. Good. He struggled with confidence issues and struggled to comprehend.
Well, he's married to a fucking astronaut.
No, I know. He struggled to comprehend how a man as impressive as his husband could be interested in him. This caused tensions in their relationship when he failed to see Adam off on his way to the International Space Station. Upon Adam's return to Earth and infection with the Praxeus bacteria, Jake confronted his insecurities, located his husband, and comforted him during his uncertain recovery. He later flew Suki's dangerously faulty ship and dispersed the Praxeus antidote into the Earth's atmosphere, curing the disease and subsequently being rescued by the Doctor. He and Adam then rekindled their relationship and joined Gabriella Camara on their travels. I haven't seen Praxeus.
I must have. It has no space in my memory.
This sounds a lot like kind of a mixture of Quatermass and Paul Stamets and Hugh Colbert from Star Trek Discovery.
I feel like you've got one thing in your mind
yep.
at the moment.
Yep. And it is Paul Stamets and Hugh Colbert from Star Trek Discovery. But in my defence,
they're perfect.
They are perfect.
I, again, having very little recollection of this.
Yeah. I do like Quatermass, though. Watched the movie recently. The third one. It was good. He's a pig, though, so gotta go low.
An ex-pig.
Once a pig, always a pig.
Okay, yeah, okay, can't fight you there. Also, if you're married to an astronaut and you've not dealt with the insecurity around that until it's plot relevant.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, it's...
Above or below Richard and Terry?
I think above Richard and Terry because they are on screen and we know what
they
look like.
And he does save the world.
I think we might put him above... I would put him above Roger Kirbishley and below Davenport.
Davenport?
Davenport!
Oh, God.
Jake Willis and Adam Lang.
Cool. Are we ranking Adam the same as Jake?
I would, I just because so. I can't be honest. I haven't seen Praxeus.
That's fair. That's
Don't
fair.
Ask me to have seen Praxeus. That's not good Praxeus. Yes. Okay, next one is James the First, the historical King James the First, as
gay?
Portrayed by Alan Cumming. Yeah, I mean, he's gay.
He's gay.
Yeah, it's just also, did James the First really have a good impact on the history of the UK? Considering that he's a monarch and being a monarch is inherently immoral. Is it good that we sell... Yeah, it's good that he's gay, though.
Well, we still have a monarchy.
Yeah.
So...
He continued the Protestant reforms of Elizabeth I.
Is this King James as of the King James Bible?
Yes.
Can't remember if that's explicitly...
It's homophobic, but also he did then use his translation of the Bible to go in front of Parliament and be like, but the thing is, that because Jesus had a boyfriend, my boyfriend is also chill with Jesus.
Good king?
Well... Good action of king. A good singular action of king. He did also, I believe, he was involved in the witch hunts because that's what the fucking episode's
bad king.
About. Bad
good
king.
Episode.
Yeah. Being a king bad. I think we can accept being king bad.
What is being progressive in the 1600s?
Also, I think he calls, like, fucking Ryan, like, a Nubian prince or something. It's weird.
Uncomfortable.
It's weird.
Is he gay? I don't recall him being gay on screen, but it's been a while since.
Well,
I
he's the
one.
He's the one who calls. He's clearly wants to fuck Ryan quite badly. Also, apparently, in a First Doctor story, he is extremely attracted to Victor, which is Vicky in drag, because Vicky loves to be in drag. Vicky is a queer icon.
Fuck.
This is why Vicky is the best.
I don't think I've ever seen any Vicky in Drag Stories.
No, she's in Dragon the Crusade, I think. And
which is gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's two episodes of It Survive. Okay. And she is in drag for at least one of them. Because I have seen them. I saw them with the linking narration by in-character William Russell as Ian Chesterton.
In-character. Oh, I love in-character narration.
Yeah. He turns up and he's like, you may find this hard to believe, but once I was knighted by Richard of Lionheart himself. You're like, oh my god. It's so good. I can't remember if he calls Barbara his wife, though, so...
Okay.
Anyway, James I, the historical dude. Apparently he wrote a book about demonology 6 years before he became king.
Yeah, he did. I've read parts of it.
That's wild. Yeah. At least it wasn't the Malleus Maleficarum, I guess. He's not being viciously misogynist about witches. Where's James I gonna go? Okay. The real historical character and figure, James I.
What if we start shipping the real historical character with James I, with the Algae Emperor?
That would be really good.
Wouldn't it?
That would be really good. Algae Emperor x James I UTP.
Find me a niche ship where and we, bring it here.
Where are we putting James I this list? He's in one episode. He survives the episode because he is a historical figure. He built a secret tunnel to his boyfriend's house.
Powerful. Very gay culture. Probably Blair Davenport.
Yeah. It's just weird that he calls Ryan a Nubian prince. Yeah. That's like one of the very few things I remember about the episode because it was so weird.
Yeah.
And also because it was gay. I was like, okay. That's where we're going with it. Also, it's Alan Cumming. Like... He's perfect.
I'm nodding.
Yeah.
I realise that I am now just like gesturing and not explaining my gestures because don't need
Yanto.
It.
Yanto two is episodes in Doctor Who. Let's talk about Yanto Jones.
Fuck.
Our sweet man.
Deserves better in every single aspect of his life.
Yes.
He's gone under top of the list, doesn't he? We discuss him to know that.
Yanto Jones is sweet and perfect and we love him and... Whatever bullshit they said in Children of Earth, he is bisexual. And his sister is played by Katie Wicks, which I enjoy as a known Katie Wicks head. That's my wife! She's a ghost, what can I say?
I still haven't finished season 3. I know. I'm enjoying it so
Where
much.
Are you?
I've got 2 episodes to go. So I've seen...
You got Lucy?
Yeah. I don't trust her.
That's... You know, I don't think anyone does. Except for all of the ghosts. Except Kitty.
Kitty's right.
Kitty is right. God... I think episode 5 is a really good Kitty episode.
Ooh, good.
It's got, you know how they're having meetings at the house to make, like, get money while that church hall is closed? There's a group therapy meeting, and then they all come and sit on the chairs in a circle.
Perfect.
Anyway, Yanto's going top of the list. We don't need to explain why. Yeah, it's Yanto fucking Jones. Everyone stopped watching Torchwood when he died.
I think his shrine is still there in
it
Cardiff.
It is.
Love it.
I mean, I can ask my brother to check. He's in Cardiff, like, today. But back up to the top of the page on the other side.
Okay, we might do this in one episode.
Fitz Kreiner. But well, Old Who.
Yeah.
Fitz is Old Who.
Do you want to have a 2-minute?
I just love Fitz Kreiner so much, but we need to save it for an 8th Doctor special because, oh my god, that's my horrible, useless little boy. I love him. Laura from The Power of Three is one of... Amy's friends, I think. Yeah. Yeah. She appears in The Power of Three, which is the one where they're all stuck on Earth for a year. The year of the Slow Invasion. It's got Kate in it. I like that episode. It's kind of a weird one, but, you know.
This rings a bell.
It introduces Kate Stewart, and then at the end of the episode, you find out that she's a Lethbridge Stewart, and you're like, yes! Yes. Laura was a friend of Amy Pond. In October of the year of the Slow Invasion, she and her girlfriend held an engagement party where Laura told Amy that the latter had missed a lot in the past year or two and asked Amy to be her bridesmaid. Amy accepted. She and her girlfriend were married prior to the following June. So very low-key, but it could have been a man and instead it was lesbians.
Exactly. Which, you know, the power of three.
It's about how Rory, Amy, and Eleven are a throuple. We know
yes.
this. We know that it's about that. And then immediately afterwards they die. But, like... I don't need to think about that anymore.
But do they?
I don't need to think about Rory and Amy anymore or I will cry. I will cry so hard.
We may end up talking about them again on this episode.
We will. So. Shall we put the...
gay wedding.
I'm going to put them above Angstrom and below
Sounds
Marian,
good to me.
Maid Alice.
Because... We've got a lot of married lesbians as well.
Yeah. Laura and her wife. This is
Does
going
her
well.
Wife have a name?
No. It's like a 30-second long scene, I'll be honest.
Still.
Still. Right.
Nyssa.
Yeah, Nyssa. And Tegan's on there.
Yes!
Yeah, because they're married.
And Adric. Does this make 5 the queerest era of Classic Who? No, because Ace exists. Ignore me.
Yes. you know, and a lot of companions just have bi energy, just by virtue of traveling through space and time. Right, we've got Lucius from the Eaters of Light. I haven't seen the Eaters of Light. I don't really know what's up.
That's one of the 12 ones, isn't it?
Yes.
I remember very little of it.
How do we know he's gay?
Is this a gay Roman?
Seems to be.
Hmm.
He would continue to fight at Carr's side. Who is Carr?
Oh, is this a Roman and a Briton romance?
Well, the Briton is a girl, so is he... Oh. How do we know that this character is... Maybe we won't.
Maybe he flirts with 12.
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't seem to have anything on the page anyway, so I'm going to close
that
up. We
don't remember him.
Then we have Arthur Lloyd, who's the character who Nancy threatens to out as gay in order to stop him from reporting her to the police.
A, I hate the law.
Yep.
B, can't really blame Nancy. Shitty situation.
Yeah.
C, is it queer rap?
Do we
ever... I mean, other than...
We don't know, like, that he's actually gay, or if it's that he is... out of necessity, having a moderately coercive affair with a butcher. It seems more likely, based on how Moffat approaches gay characters, that he is secretly gay. However,
it is also gay to have an affair with a butcher.
There's a lot of meat. Yeah, I mean,
also,
Arthur Lloyd.
Being a queer person during the Blitz.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
You know, he's in, like, his 40s or 50s, probably. He's, like, a middle-aged
gay.
Yes. And he's not dead by the end of the episode. But he's still going to be low on
this
ranking.
Once everybody lives.
Yeah. Still low on the ranking, though.
Yeah, I think below James the First. Maybe he'd like to be below James the First.
Maybe he would. Maybe we can ship them. I'm going to put him below Jake and Adam. That's also all right. Because they are married gays, so...
And this is just infidelitous. Gays.
Unfaithful?
That's a... better word.
Affair having.
Cheating, one could say. Go.
Right. Kit Marlowe, fair enough. Nardole. Is Nardole gay?
Matt Lucas is gay. Doesn't necessarily mean Nardole's gay.
Nardole had an ex called Velma. He also once had an imaginary friend until he left him for someone else.
Hey, I had the exact same experience with an imaginary boyfriend when I was 14.
Oh my god, I love you. God, Nardole is such a strange character.
I never warmed to him massively, but I was not a Matt Lucas fan.
No.
I listen to BBC Radio 2 in the morning to get me out of bed, because it's not overly annoying, but it's annoying enough to make me want to get up and turn the radio off.
I can't be bothered to read much of this thing.
I will do a Google.
Skills and abilities. It doesn't say that he's skilled at being gay.
Is Nardole gay? Wait, is being gay a skill now?
I mean... what else am I going to put on my CV? Good at watching Star Trek Discovery?
Yes!
Can focus on tasks for long periods of time.
But
only when the task is watching lots of Star Trek. I watched all of DS9 in about 3 weeks. I was very depressed at the time. So I'm definitely going
That's
through a good mental
powerful.
Time. It was very powerful.
Are you
I also.
Okay?
No. Mm. Also, around the same time, I watched all of MASH in 3 weeks, and that is 11 seasons long. And I had to wait for about 3 days in the middle because my streaming started to stop working, so I had to buy the DVDs.
I mean, I got through Magnus Archives in 2.5 weeks to avoid falling into the pit of depression, so I feel you. Gotta love the media hyperfixation to avoid anything worse happening.
Yeah. I mean, as Hugh Colmer and Paul Stamets once said. anyway, I can't be bothered to find out whether Nardole is gay.
I mean, Google is not helping me.
Let's just say that maybe he is, but I can't be bothered to put him on.
Oh, I found a Pink News article.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, the only thing coming about it is something about Bill being gay, so.
Yeah. Let's just assume.
Well, that was
right. Well, the next one is Clara Oswald.
Is Clara canonically gay?
She's bi. My wife.
Is she?
Well, okay, so
okay.
Here's
this
what
I don't remember, mainly because I was
here's
so done with how they treated Clara throughout the trip.
Here's what it is. I love Clara. I've always loved Clara. Oswin, when she appears in Asylum of the Daleks, she says, my first crush was on someone called Rory. Actually, she was called Nina. I was going through a phase. And you're like, oh, Moffat.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, although
amazed that you have this on the top of your head.
I believe me, it was a lot of my life for a long time. Later on in the show, although she's never she doesn't kiss any women on screen because her main romance is with Danny Pink. Ugh, he was treated so
deserves better.
She canonically made out with Jane Austen.
Fuck! Oh, she has too much power.
Also, she goes off to voyage with Ashilda, so, like, that's lesbian of her.
That's so powerful.
Yeah, I love Clara. Like, I think that she gets done dirty by the narrative, but I really
I think that's
like
more a Moffat-ism than the
I have to wonder when she did her fucking PGCE. But beyond that, as you know, I care about this stuff.
I do. I mean, if we're talking queer rep, then she doesn't rank massively high, but if we're talking her as a character, then she's top tier.
Yeah. Should we put her above Jack?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. God, there's not a lot of recurring gay characters or bi characters in New Who.
Queer
so you're like,
yeah.
queer coded, I can't speak. We have Penny, who was a girl who went on a date with Bill Pott. After the 12th Doctor told Bill to call Penny, they went on a date, in which Bill told her about her tutor being an alien and the computer simulation he was recently trapped in. Later, they went to Bill's flat, but their date was interrupted when several United Nations soldiers came in looking for the President of Earth.
I mean, I've had bad dates. I've never had a date like that.
Yeah, apparently their date ended when the Pope walked into the room.
I kind of wish I had a date that ended like that.
Where's Penny gonna go on the list? I feel bad for her.
I think she needs to go, like, above the middle because, you know, was crashed by the Pope.
Above Angstrom?
Yeah.
We got Penny. She's an on-screen woman of colour who is a Woolawa. So, much like the next one on our list.
It's time for Bill Potts. Bill Potts o'clock.
Oh my god.
We should surprise nobody with our Bill Potts adoration.
Absolutely. I haven't even seen, like, anywhere near, like, half the episode she's in. I'm like, yes, that's
every
my
single
wife.
She's in is perfect.
Yes, that's my wife.
She's so good.
That's my wife.
I know.
We love her very, very, very much. She is canonically a lesbian. From the very first episode, you're like, oh, hey, this is a woman who loves women. And this is the thing about Moffat. He can do it. Bill's great. She's a canonical lesbian. She has a happy ending with her lesbian girlfriend, even after they both die. Or she dies and Heather turns into a puddle. It's a very great link of them. Heather has to return to the big oil puddle in the sky in order to restore her people from the disease inflicted on them by Section 31 of the Doctor Who universe. God, I mean, to be fair, we know that Star Trek and Doctor Who have collided, but that wasn't like a universal intersection.
Well.
It was a comic. A universal intersection. Maybe that's the next crossover I have to write, is Discovery Doctor Who. Disco Who.
Yes.
Disco Who. Let's discuss this after we record.
Otherwise, that's the rest of the recording.
Anyway,
Bill's top of the list.
Bill's top of the list. Yanto's sorry, but Bill Potts is top of
Yanto
the list.
Yanto would understand.
Yes. Bill Potts is just wonderful. And then she has, like, the fucking saddest transformation into...
Oh my god. I was so angry.
Yeah.
She deserves better.
We have another gay Richard who gets killed.
Don't remember anything about...
A light resolution.
Oh, resolution.
It's got Alison from Ghosts. My wife, Charlotte Ritchie.
You have a lot of wives.
Yeah, I do. I'm a bigamist.
God, there's just like a pun. There's a pun somewhere. No. You know, like a ghost pun? That feeling where the pun is there, but you just can't quite... Yeah, I'm sorry.
L'esprit d'escalier, but with puns.
Yeah. Richard can rank quite low.
Yeah, let's put him... I mean, honestly...
Let's put him with other Richard.
Richard and Terry, and then separately, Richard and his boyfriend. Ah, there we go. Richard and Buff. That's how I feel about Richard and his boy F. Buff. Then we have Tosh. Not really in Doctor Who.
Not really in Doctor Who.
But I do love her. Isn't she in fucking World War III?
Her actress plays a character.
Oh, okay. Oh, then they're going to be like, oh, my cousin works for UNIT. Come on. William Shakespeare.
Gay.
Yeah. Where are we going to rank him? We know William Shakespeare is a bisexual icon. Not the best person, but it was the 1600s.
Would love to have more Shakespeare episodes of Who. Gotta be honest. I think that'd be really, really fun. I would love to have like a pastiche to Midsummer Night's Dream where he ends up on an adventure with the Doctor and it inspires Midsummer Night's Dream. That would be beautiful. That's not canon.
Yeah. Should we put...
Let's put him... I don't know. I think that's a bit high.
But all these guys died.
That's true, he does.
We could put him with James the First, because they're both historical characters.
Yeah, but I bet you that Shakespeare had a crush on James the First if they ever coexisted at the same time.
I don't know if they did. Didn't Shakespeare die in like 1604?
1604? Hey Siri, when did Shakespeare die?
William Shakespeare died the 23rd of April, 1616, at age 52 in Stratford-upon-Avon.
On his birthday?
Yes, on his birthday.
That's really sad. What a birthday gift to yourself.
I don't know. That sounds quite funny to me.
Yeah, just as a bit.
It's like, happy birthday to me, I'm done.
You wait until the party, all the presents are at 20, you go, this is great.
Or just like everyone's leaving, you look at how much you need to clean up, and you're like, I'd rather die, and then you do.
Then we have Sky Silvestri from Midnight.
Amazing name.
Yes.
Midnight's such a good episode.
Yeah. So she had a wife?
Yeah. Question mark.
So she left her wife. It says departing from her wife, and it's like, meh. So
and then she died.
Okay, more dead.
And also she spent most of the episode not being herself. She was very scary as a monster, but...
Very powerful acting, but that's not inherently gay.
No. Alas.
Should be.
Right, should we put her...
Let's put her down with the dead gays.
Yeah, God. Let's do...
I put...
Should we put her above our Roger Kermishley?
Go on then, as a treat.
What a name though. I really can't get over how good the name Roger Kermishley is. Silvestri. There we go.
Doctor Who has good names in it.
Does. You know what else has good names in it?
Is it Star Trek?
It's Star Trek. God, I love... Do you know the book on the news on Disco is the only actor who's been in Doctor Who and been a regular on Star Trek?
That actually feels kind of monumental.
He was in The Beast Below. Well... Which I was like, I recognise this guy. He was in The Beast Below.
Love The Beast Below.
It's good.
World that Patrick Stewart has never been on Who. Never been on Who.
So wild.
He'd make a great master. I know we've had a lot of old white guy masters, but he'd make a great master.
We've got Derek Jacobi. It's very good. It's like how Ian McKellen was in one episode of Doctor Who as a voice, and you're like, what are you talking about? But there you go. Yes, Guy Silvestri's ex-wife, Luke from Sarah Jane Adventures. He was in Doctor Who.
He was in Doctor Who briefly.
Yes, and he is gay. And they were gonna, like, cause
and it's also important to have CBBC gays.
Yes.
For our little baby gays.
Yes. It was like, he was gonna be properly gay in season 5, and then they only partially filmed season 5 because of Liz Slade dying.
Yeah.
So I think he should go high up. And then obviously they had the little bit about Sarah Jane Smith's funeral that canonized Nyssa and Tegan.
Married in Australia.
Married in Australia.
Mm.
Right.
I would probably put Luke above Jack.
Yep.
More powerful gay.
Yes, more powerful. Okay. Luke Smith. Also, he's a clone, which I think is kind of fun.
Who else is a clone? Somebody, I'm sure.
River Song.
When did they queerize River?
Apparently she's had multiple wives.
Powerful, I love her.
Ah. River Song told the 12th Doctor that he reminded her of her second wife. And I assume it's in the audios as well. I think they've had, like, Missy and River Song interact in the audios.
Oh, that would be... That's the queer rap I want.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
River... I actually really like River. I think they do too much with her in the show.
I didn't like the River 11 stuff, but, like, especially when they first introduced her as a concept and that playing with time.
That's what Moffat's good at, is the playing with time for a bit. And then it gets too much and you're
He's really good for very contained stories.
Yeah.
Like, his contained playing with time stuff is actually top tier.
Yes. Right.
River Song, powerful...
Above Jenny?
Yeah.
Look at how many gay characters there are.
Would be nice if we had more, like, explicit queer content with her.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice for all of it, but these days the BBC is just shit in it.
Well.
Peter Summerfield, I don't know who that is. I mean, Summerfield is like Bernie Summerfield. Yeah. Yep. Peter Guy Summerfield was the half-human, half-Caloran... Oh my fucking God!
He's a puppy boy!
He's a puppy boy!
He's a puppy boy! I'm sure that means something in gay slang.
Yeah, probably. He's wearing, like, one of those hankies, and they look at it and go, oh, puppy boy. Ston, who I'm fairly certain is a Vulcan. Ston is the one that T'Pring bins off Spock for, because Spock is, of course, in love with his captain. Thin one we already talked about.
Yeah, already down there.
In a parallel universe, Rob Tyler was the son of Pete and Jackie Tyler and a male counterpart of N Space's Rose Tyler. Rob was gay and in a relationship with Mickey Smith. Oh, an audio of the Flood. I thought they meant... Because I saw it earlier. I know. But I thought they meant the comic The Flood, which is a really spooky Cyberman one from the 8th Doctor. But that's cool.
It's very
cool. I mean, we're not putting it in because it's not on the show. But it's cool. All right. Next up, we have Madame Vastra.
Needs to go right up there with Jenny.
Yeah.
Can't separate them.
Great.
Like, the power, the confidence.
Like, I think the show slightly overused them as a comedic trio with Strax. Strax's kind of dumb character. But Jenny and Vastra, when they first got introduced,
so funny.
And it's like these inexplicably lesbian, married, Silurian and Victorian maid, nothing has ever been better in Doctor Who. Nothing has ever been better. You go, where the fuck did these people come from? They're like, oh, we met the Doctor when he was off gallivanting. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, believe it. That's why.
And she's like, she calls her my love. And you're like, hang on, did Moffat do it? It's really important to me. She's great.
It is also good. It's good queer rep of, like, queer people doing shit that's not just being queer.
Yeah, and Neve McIntosh is really good in the role. Yeah. So. Right, Vastra, up with Jenny. I'll just put her on the same line, because, like, fine. They are perfect. Right.
Oh, I think Will Shakespeare's got separated from James the
First. Yes. Oh, no! Not the star-crossed lovers. Vetus is probably Lucius's boyfriend or whatever. Hang on, fucking Eaters of Light is about the Ninth Legion.
Yeah?
Why is everything always about the fucking Ninth Legion?
Because honestly, we know Rosemary shit Sutcliffe about
already did Eagle of the Ninth. We don't need any other stories about the Ninth Legion.
But we know about.
I know.
We know stuff.
I watched Neil Marshall's Centurion recently, which is also about the Ninth Legion. Me and Alex had kind of a breakdown watching it, because I was like, hang on, this is literally Eagle of the Ninth. It's literally Eagle of the Ninth. And then we were talking about the Eagle, the movie, which is shit. But the reaction Alex had when Marcus's uncle buys him a body slave, and she's like, if it's a man, I'm gonna lose my shit. And it was specifically Esker. She lost her fucking mind. It was so funny. Have you seen The Eagle?
No.
It is not good, but it is great.
My favourite kind of movie.
The book is genuinely really, really good.
Okay.
And it has, like, you know, Roman culture stuff and
nice.
Whatever. And it talks about slavery in a way that's... I think it tries
cheeky door slavery.
It tries to put it in a cultural context of the time. And Marcus does free Esker before they go to Scotland to be like, you don't have to come with me on this. This is your choice. And Esker is like, obviously I'm coming with you. I'm literally in love with you. My heart is telling me to go with you, I believe is what he says.
Okay, that's gay.
Yeah. It's gay. It's gay. It's
very
they adopt going a, where they, my heart they, will take they me. Adopt a wolf cub together.
Girls.
Girls.
We're
doing well. We only have... Sorry.
Oh, no.
Going down further. There's not many left. We have Polly Wright's husband. She married a gay guy in the 70s.
Oh, of course. We discussed this already,
except for
I think.
The fact that she married Ben and they stayed happily married forever, of course.
We discussed this as well.
Yes, we did discuss this.
Do we want to check the list of non-cis individuals as well?
Yeah, there's a lot less.
I don't know if we actually had any, like...
Cassandra.
Cassandra's out as trans?
Okay. So Cassandra O'Brien dot Delta 17. Obviously, we know Cassandra as a bitchy trampoline.
Yes,
iconic line.
Yes.
She says at one point, when I was a little boy,
she
I
does,
did
doesn't
X.
She?
And it's like, Russell, I know what you're trying to do. However.
Let's talk about trans voices in media.
Yes.
And self-outing.
Yes.
And
also just, like, the fact that it is this particular character who has had 708 plastic surgeries that have completely removed her from her humanity. And they're like, well, the first one that she had was a sex change!
But
in 2005, that was the funniest possible joke. There's also another, they were intending, this is a thing Moffat and Russell T. Davies talked about, obviously we can't put it on the ranking. They were intending at the end of Silence in the Library, Forest of the Dead, that... Donna's husband, dream husband, would be revealed as having been AFAB.
Yeah, okay.
So in the dream world, he had decided to live in the body that he chose.
Oh, interesting. That would be a really... I don't
but they felt like they didn't
it
build
well.
It up enough.
Yeah.
So they didn't do it. Which is a very mature
choice.
Decision.
Yes.
I think
that's
interesting.
Such an interesting
concept. I think I'd heard
concept.
About it at the time. I don't know what language they used at the time, but, like, you know, for 2008, that's kind of a big thing.
I want to see some trans people do that story.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, they're currently trying to get Grey Tull back from being a hologram, so...
I adore them.
Yeah.
I adore them.
Yes. Okay, I think that's all of the new Who one.
Kind of shitty that... I mean, unsurprising that there's so little trans rep.
Yeah. What do we put Cassandra on the list?
Do we?
I mean...
we've got to, haven't we? I think she ranks...
I don't know. She's
ranks
low.
Quite low.
She's low.
Do we want to put her down with the fat one and the thin one?
I think so.
Discomfort.
Yeah, Cassandra. Sorry, lads. You can't be making trans jokes on Doctor Who.
Or if you are, get trans
people
to write them. Because trans people
horse.
Are fucking hilarious.
That fucking horse from a town called Mercy. Do you
Niche?
Remember that?
Very, very vaguely. There's
the Doctor is
ahead.
On this horse.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, well, there's your horse. And he goes, actually, he's called Susan and he'd like you to respect his life choices.
Please. Please get a sensitivity reader. Please.
You'd hope. Anyway, that's our episode of Power Ranking Gay Characters in Doctor Who. We have at the top Bill Potts and at the bottom
yes.
Cassandra O'Brien dot Delta 17.
So it's a very it's a wide spectrum
yes, we
of
have,
experience.
Just over 30 people on the list, and then we have the Doctors, who we never did agree on a power
ranking. Oh, shall we have a go?
Okay. Who's the gayest of the new Who Doctors? Just from your heart. From your heart.
My heart says 13, but that's because I'm in love with her. That's not objective. That's not...
Okay, but we don't have to be objective. We can say 13 is the gayest. She has an ear cuff earring.
She literally wears a rainbow all the time.
Yeah. Her earring just makes me think about Kira.
And who is a gay icon.
Who is a gay icon. She and Dax are dating.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, 13, 9.
I can agree with that,
because
yeah.
He kisses a man.
He kisses a man. He has, like, Azela Green feels.
And then 11 and 12, I don't fucking know.
12 feels queerer than 11.
Yeah. But 11 then 11 kisses a boy on the mouth.
But 11 is also very Moffat's projections of what it means to be a straight icon.
Is he?
I don't know. That's how I read him.
Oh. I think
that might be my read more than
I mostly rewatched season 5, which is
better.
Like him being extremely uncomfortable with any attention from any woman. Especially Amy. And obviously that's because he knows Amy as a child. But also...
That definitely changes as it goes on, though. That it gets more and more uncomfortable. I think
with Clara it does, I would agree. Yeah. But, I don't know. I haven't watched Series 7 in a really long time, because I didn't like it very much. Yeah. And you don't have to watch things that you don't like.
But yes, that is our power ranking of gay New Who characters and LGBT.
It was fun to listen to. It was definitely fun to discuss.
Indeed.
Good luck editing.
Yeah, now we're going to watch the thing.
As we agreed.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Please follow us on Twitter at PolarityPod or on Tumblr at polaritypod.tumblr.com if you want to follow us individually. AIM is at AIM Tells Stories. That's AYM. I am at Dot Sayers, which is short for Dorothy L. Sayers. I don't think I've ever mentioned that before on the podcast.
Do you want a soapbox for 2 minutes about Dorothy Sayers?
I'm giving AIM a very dirty look. The answer is no, because it could never be just for 2 minutes. But yes. As I say thank you, this is another special episode and I don't know when I'm going to release it, but we're going to do it at some point. Goodbye.
She's got something up. She's seen her. She's got herself in the system.